but we did ask for more pencils. So I was saying to someone who rang me that it's really the one of the wonderful things about Cape Town is when you're driving in or coming in by bus or train and you see this beautiful weather sometimes, it really is very beautiful. As I said to my granddaughter, whose birthday it is today, and she said, "Can you see the mountains?" And everyone, when they talk, you say Cape Town, they say, "Can you see the, not the sea, can you see the mountain, you see?" And I said, "I can, and for a change I can see it. It's beautiful." So, and yes it is. I think anyone who drove in this morning, it was very refreshing. And I must first of all thank members for being here on time. Certainly there were three members who were here very sharp at sort of 20 past 8 and others who were as sharp at 8:30. And I'd like to start straight away because one of our nominees has a plane to catch and has been on time. And for us, honourable members, it's fairly easy because we're into the swing of it. Am I correct on that basis? It's a matter of just moving through, and not that we have to rush any candidate, and we're not going to do that. But I mean, we understand. So we'll be asking Margot to bring in the candidate. And as she's bringing in the candidate, we should also indicate to members that Mr. Herman has been called to management at 9:30, I think it is, which is what we were dealing with, and he will be with management from 9:30 until 12:30. So it is something very much like politicians. When your chief whip calls you, you run. When management calls you, you run. Okay. So, immediately over to welcoming Mr. Niyaga. Is it Niyaga or Nayaga? Nayaga. Nayaga. How's it? Nayaga. Right. Now, we'd like to welcome you here this morning to be on time so that we can start immediately. We are already informed by the committee secretary of your plane, but we don't want to rush the interview at all, and I'm sure neither do you. This is the Portfolio Committee on Trade and Industry, and the man you have been dealing with, Mr. Hermans, is on my right, and Ms. Herling, who has been asking you to come in as the content advisor to the committee. But immediately in front of you is our multi-party committee, trade and industry, the honourable members. Just behind there may be one or two or three other people who are observers of one kind or another. So we'd really like to welcome you, ask you to relax. When you respond to a question, switch the mic on. When you have finished, switch it off. And also, you'll see on your left, I hope, a list of the committee members. Right. So let's see members by show of hands. Honourable Mabasa, Honourable van der Westhuizen, Honourable Schlele, Honourable Njikalana.
Good morning, committee chair, as well as Mr. Nayaga. Briefly tell us about your past experience and relate that to the contribution you would like to make to the board. What, in your opinion, will be the main criteria for a board member?
The Sorry, Chair, do I answer them individually or do I? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mbasa. As far as my personal experience, maybe just by way of background, I'm sure you've been through my CV, but in particular, I'd just like to touch on a few salient characteristics of mine. Having been the ex-provincial auditor of Gauteng, there were various public entities which fell under within my mandate in Gauteng, the likes of the Gauteng Gambling Board, the ICASA, there was the coin company, there was the likes of the NER, National Electricity Regulator. Those are some of the public entities which fell under my mandate as the provincial auditor of Gauteng. So in terms of that, I do have an extensive knowledge of the public entities' modus operandi. Currently, I'm on the audit committee of the National Lotteries Board. I have been so for the past 5 years. I have a very in-depth knowledge as to what the challenges are for the National Lotteries Board. As far as the criteria for a director of a company, I believe they're quite varied, most important of which is accountability, living by example, having impeccable track record in terms of financial prudence. I believe being a member of the board, one is to lead by example, and I believe those are the qualities that I do portray as an individual.
Thank you. Mr. Nayagar, what do you envisage as the main functions of the National Lotteries Board?
The main functions of the National Lotteries Board, in my view, would be, firstly, to have total authority in terms of the conduct of the board, in terms of the running of the national lotteries and other lotteries, which would be mandated to the National Lotteries Board, advising the Minister of legislation relating to the national lotteries, advising on the licensing of the national lotteries, advising the minister on various other issues, such as the percentage of monies to be allocated to various social programs, advising the minister as to any other matter that that the minister might instruct the board to undertake. I believe of prime importance is in conjunction with the chief executive officer of the National Lotteries Board is the implementation of a sound systems of internal control, having a very sound risk management or risk policy in place to obviously minimize risk in terms of the National Lotteries Board. having sound policies in place to not to tarnish the National Lotteries Board in terms of reputational damage. Obviously would entail having implementing the principles of good governance, transparency, and accountability. I believe the National Lotteries Board has a responsibility to give management and guidance or assistance to the distributing agencies. The board would have to administer the National Lotteries Board in terms of the National Lotteries Act of 1997. It would have to keep in trust the National Lotteries Development Trust, the NLDTF, and obviously protect and enhance controls in terms of the monies collected or allocated by the National Lotteries Board. I believe one of the key functions of the National Lotteries Board would also be to optimize the monies collected via the National Lottery. And I think equally important is the disbursement of those funds to deserving charities and other social programs. I believe what would be key mandate for the National Lotteries Board would be the protection of every stakeholder relative to the National Lotteries in terms of protecting every stakeholder. And finally, I would think what would be key is to protect and enhance the image of the National Lotteries Board.
Slowly.
Good morning, Mr. Nayaga. You seem to be familiar with the functions of the board, that it advises the minister on the legislation. May you please share with this committee your opinion. In your opinion, what are some of the challenges in the implementation of the legislation? Secondly, are there any issues or areas that you maintain should be brought to the immediate attention of the minister? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Paslele. In terms of the challenges being faced by the board, obviously the National Lotteries Board has been criticized for not spending enough in terms of its mandate. However, I don't believe all of those problems are the board's responsibility. I believe it's a collective responsibility, the board together with the distributing agents. As much as the board should be zealous in protecting the and to make sure that the disbursements are beyond question fully authenticated, the problem is on the ground. There's a lack of accountability in certain of the beneficiaries of the disbursements, and once again, you know, from the beneficiaries' point of view, it's obviously not their fault as well, because the nature of these organisations lack the necessary infrastructure in terms of systems, in terms of expertise, and therefore there is this perceived lack of accountability. So, you know, collectively, I think it's a problem on all fronts, and I believe the only way we're going to be able to challenge it is to work together in a very consultative and co-developmental manner to try and face these, that particular challenge. The second challenge, in my view, would be obviously competition from other industries in terms of the national lotteries, and those would be the likes of horse racing, casinos, and other initiatives by private sector to try and woo the paying citizen, the paying lot, well, the purchase of a lottery ticket from by our citizens. The manner in which the way to overcome that is obviously just to keep advertising and promoting the national lotteries. Certainly, any shortcomings or perceptions of fraud could taint the image of the National Lotteries Board. So I think it's paramount that the National Lotteries Board actually market the national lotteries as one which is untainted and it's good value for money.
Thank you. Were you still on the...
I could... those are some... The obviously, another challenge is the lack of skills, which I believe it's a national problem that we have. And the skills we're looking at is the financial skills to be able to control huge amounts of money that we're talking in terms of the total turnover of the National Lotteries Board.
Yes, Honourable Mbasa.
Excuse me, Chair, I am now. The next question will be, some NGOs and other institutions are dependent on the provision of promised lottery funding to implement certain programs. Often, this funding is not provided within the appropriate time frames to enable these institutions to perform their mandates. How will you address the delays in distributing funding experienced in the distribution of the fund? What remedial actions would you propose to improve the ailing relations between the NLB and the distribution agencies?
As I alluded to earlier to Mr. Pasella's question in terms of challenges, I believe NGOs are certainly one of the casualties in this particular area. And like I said, totally not totally unjustified from the NGO side that they're not able to have the necessary infrastructure. What I would, and yet they might be the most deserving of the allocations. What I would do is obviously try and develop. Co-develop skills within the NGO, and this might be through partnerships with other organizations having the necessary infrastructure. infrastructure to be able to handle that type of funding, the receipt and the distribution of those funding. And with a view to transferring skills to the NGO in terms of accounting for the finances. I think there's a huge opportunity in terms of black chartered accountants throughout the country, who are obviously also, you know, facing the challenge of getting into the mainstream economy. I would partner or bring together those chartered accountants with a view to creating the necessary systems and systems of internal control and accounting to those NGOs. In which case, it's a win-win situation, a win for the black or emerging chartered accountant, having to contribute more substantially to the economy, and obviously the NGO achieving its objectives in getting the necessary funding and executing its mandate. In terms of the ailing relationships existing between NGOs and the national lotteries at the moment, I think almost immediately I would call convene a huge imbizo in Daba and communicate the challenges from the National Lotteries Board side, and likewise the NGOs communicating their challenges. And somehow from this workshop, have the output of this particular workshop, how we move forward from there onwards. I think that will go a long way towards understanding the problems on both sides, and with a view to bring them closer co-develop a solution moving forward.
Honourable members, any further questions? Honourable Lavinia, Honourable Tikalana, Honourable Hadebe.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Good morning, Mr. Nayaga. Briefly, what would you identify as the 5-year strategic objectives and priorities for the board? And what system or process would you implement to monitor and evaluate the progress made in achieving these strategic objectives and priorities? Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Lapena. In terms of the 5-year plan, I would certainly look at, firstly, optimizing the income of the National Lotteries Board. Obviously, if the income is dwindling in terms of sales of lottery tickets, there is no chance of the National Lotteries Board meeting its objective, its mandate. So the first priority would obviously be to maximize and maintain the income earning potential of the National Lotteries Board. Of the national lotteries. Secondly, I would look at speeding up the disbursement of funds to all the NGOs and all the other deserving social programs. coupled with that, obviously, I would try and strengthen the infrastructure of those NGOs, as I alluded to earlier to Mr. Mabaso. As the next priority, I would look at obviously beefing up the skills at the National Lotteries Board itself in terms of the administration department of the National Lotteries so that they could cope with the increased or more efficient disbursement of funding. As a fourth priority, I would look at certainly tightening up on all the risk management systems at the National Lotteries Board, because I believe any reputational damage to the National Lotteries Board could be very damaging to the country at large. And I would certainly beef up, any the reputation of the National Lotteries. And maybe lastly, in terms of my priorities, I would certainly look at succession planning at the National Lotteries Board. I think what we lack in our country is a lack of succession planning, and therefore we thin in leadership skills in not only at National Lotteries Board but various other organizations and in government as well. So those would be the five priority areas I would look at going forward.
Honorable Njikalana.
Mrs. Benya, certainly one area I which would be key is obviously holding the distributing agencies accountable. I believe that's where a major part of the current problems lie. I think it's trying to manage and obviously give the necessary guidance and support to the distributing agents.
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Nayaka, good morning. From my side, just take us through or not to see as or understand as the difference between the role of the Chief Executive Officer and the Board. Also, the relationship between the Board, the Minister, and Parliament. Thank you.
Sorry, I didn't get the name, Mr.
Njikalana.
Mr. Njikalana, thanks for the question. In terms of the different distinction between CEO and the board, I think the board has an oversight function. There's accountability in both aspects. The board is accountable for the running of the National Lotteries Board, and that would encompass the National Lotteries Board as well as the National Lotteries Distribution Fund. The two have to work hand in hand, where the board would be responsible for the overall planning and implementation of systems of internal controls, risk management processes, systems of devising financial statements. The CEO, on the other hand, he is actually accountable for implementation of those policies and procedures as laid down by the board. The board, in turn, would evaluate whatever systems are in place, and the CEO has to be actually involved in the implementation thereof, in the operational aspects of the board. Under no circumstances is the board responsible for the operational, the day-to-day running of the National Lotteries Board. That would be the responsibility of the CEO. In terms of that relationship between the CEO and the board, BRV, the minister, or, the minister in parliament, the accounting authority for the National Lotteries Board would be the Minister of Trade and Industries, and he obviously would be the representative of Parliament. So that's basically the distinction that I see.
Right. Anyone else with the wants to raise? Honourable Line, Honourable Khadebe, Honourable Kumalo.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson. Good morning, sir. How would you ensure that the realistic targets for the CEO are set and that his or her performance is measured accurately? Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Lyne. I think the targets or key performance objectives to be set for the CEO would arise from the business plan that has to be, that would be the first document or a fundamental document from which the contract for the CEO, the key performance areas of the CEO would be drafted. The business plan obviously has to take cognizance of the mandate of the National Lotteries Board in terms of the National Lotteries Act, in terms of the Public Audit Act, in terms of various other acts that might impinge on the National Lotteries Board. So the first document that would be drafted is a business plan, be it a 3-year or 5-year business plan. From there, I would draft out the key performance areas of the CEO. And in a consultative manner, agree those objectives with the CEO and obviously have that signed off between the National Lotteries Board and the CEO. And on a periodic basis, be it every 6 months or every year, review that with the CEO and then determine how he is fared according to that, the key performance areas. And the way in which I'd monitor that is to define key performance indicators, which would give me some indication whether or not those key performance objectives have been met or not.
Thank you very much. Honorable Khadebe.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I know that you gave us some background information about yourself, but what I'd like to know that what high-level responsibilities are you currently involved with? For example, the board memberships or senior level management in any company or board.
Thank you, Mr. Khadebe. Currently, as I mentioned, I'm on the national, I'm an audit committee member of the National Lotteries Board. I do run my own business advisory practice, and in that I do have various clients who run multi-million rand organizations, and being the business advisor to those companies, I do from time to time sit in their board meetings and advise them as to on various issues regarding their businesses. The advice varies from tax advice implementation of systems, improving their businesses, improving their bottom line, advising on systems of internal control to deter, prevent or deter any incidents of fraud. prior to my going into business practice, I was a senior partner at Ernst & Young, and they're based in Johannesburg, and that's a firm of business advisors and auditors. So, Mr. Khadeva, basically, from that, I have developed a huge skills base to be able to advise on issues of a strategic nature.
Honorable Kamala.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. Morning, Mr. Nayaga. What strategies would you bring to ensure that the CBOs and NGOs that are deserving are able to access funds if they lack the capacity to properly apply for funding? Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Kamala. As I mentioned earlier, it's a challenge we face in terms of the NGOs and the very deserving organizations not having the necessary infrastructure to be able to handle huge amounts of funding. I think that is, indeed a feature not only in South Africa, in our country, but throughout the world. And I think the way to deal with that is to maybe have some partnership or some type of alliance with the private sector and other individual professionals to be able to lend support to those NGOs. It obviously will, some of them might not be able to render these services gratis, but I think if there's some agreement with them that the services they render to NGOs could be done on a subsidized basis, whereby the National Lotteries Board might have to contribute towards it, I think we'll go a long way towards addressing that particular problem. The other suggestion might be to outsource the disbursement of these funds to a professional organization where they would take on the responsibility of ensuring that the monies disbursed do reach the recipients intended for its use. I think that's an area where it's widely used overseas, and I think if we have the necessary will, we will be able to get something like it going in our country. So, Chair, if you may, if I could just go back to Mr. Khadeva's question. And finally, just to mention to you, I'm a member of various NGO organizations in Benani and surrounding areas, so I do have a very in-depth knowledge in terms of the challenges the NGOs face.
Thank you. Honorable Impashlele.
Mr. Nayaga, surely
funds are being thrown at the poor community. Money is dispersed, but does it make an impact? In your opinion, what strategies should the board implement in order to assess the impact of the funds dispersed? Thank you.
Mr. Pasile, I agree with you that you know, the funds so disbursed are being utilized, and there's no sustainability, if I can put it that way. But I think you know, our NGOs are facing a huge challenge in terms of that, and part of that is obviously the legacy that we've you know, have inherited. I think we certainly cannot deny them, you know, those funds that they do apply for and succeed in getting. I think we have to be somewhat innovative in how we address this problem. Personally, I'm an advocate of, you know, the very famous saying, give a man a fish and he feeds himself for a day, and teach him how to fish, he'd feed himself for a lifetime. So where there are funds being applied for, or call it 1 million, for example, I would utilize part of that in terms of, I would invest part of that in creating some type of sustainability within the NGO. And by way of example, if some orphanage home applies for a grant, the 1 million rand applied for, instead of granting the full 1 million rand, some part of that would go towards creating some type of activity, for example, either creating, you know, some type of occupational, some activity whereby the NGO can later on start funding itself, maybe not to the full extent, but somehow start earning an income where there's less dependency on the National Lotteries Board, and obviously over a period of time it's able to sustain itself. So whilst I share your sentiment that you know, we're just throwing money into these organizations without any benefit, but I think the real benefit is obviously giving dignity to our people, and we just have to keep working at it to be able to get them to be self-sustaining.
Are there any other questions, honourable members? Honourable Mabasa?
Mr. Nayaga, this is a conversation that we are having with you. And following on what we have discussed, what area do you think we have not asked, but which from your side you want to take initiative and contribute to this discussion?
Basa. I think it's a very difficult question, but but I think certainly all the areas that I believe are critical to the successful performance of the board have been asked, and really I can't think of anything that might have been left out.
Thank you. It's just a clarification from my side, if you don't mind. Beginning when we start the process, we were someone was asking questions around the functions of the board and so on, and you came up with some of those and identified aspects of the legislation. But what would be quite interesting to me, you later spoke about a lack of skills, and then you referred again to, in fact, towards the end, about, I think it was on the strategies and the assistance with the CBOs and NGOs, and spoke about some kind of mentorship and someone being paid to do this, and that NLB would subsidize this, as you put. Now, the question I want to pose to you, we're talking, say, about community organizations, not simply in Gauteng, where I also come from, but, you know, in other areas of South Africa which don't have the same infrastructure and facilities. And they've come to the NLB, quite frankly, because they're desperate, absolutely desperate. But they also don't have the capacity to complete these forms. But am I to understand then that you're suggesting that they also take some of their money out of the NLB funds? I just want to get that quite clear, because you mentioned that the NLB could subsidize them. So if you could just clarify that to me, how you see it working.
Madam Chair, the way I see it working, by way of example, where an application is made for R1 million, okay, by some orphanage home, I would, of that R1 million that's been allocated to that particular home, I would engage a firm of chartered accountants or forensic auditors, whatever, and say from that 5% of that amount is allocated towards beefing up the systems, or ensuring that the systems are in place to be able to control that R1 million. So instead of the R1 million going, the full R1 million going towards the organization, 5% of that would be 50,000 would be gone into making sure there's the necessary accountability for the disbursement of that 950,000. So that's what I'm getting at. So instead of the NGO, obviously the NGO is not in a position to be able to afford that type of expertise. The NLB will have that expertise in its database, depending on what area it is, and then employ those particular forensic accountants, chartered accountants, whatever, and allocate part of that towards. So at the end of it, instead of the NGO getting R1 million, they'll only get 950, but we will have gone a long way towards ensuring there's accountability, there's proper governance, and the NGO will have achieved some of its mandate.
Yeah, well, thank you for sharing that your experiences and your knowledge, and also how you would tackle some of the challenges. We do appreciate it, and we appreciate you flying down and spending some time with us. Thank you very, very much. And Mr. Hermans, who's not here just at the moment, will keep in touch with you and abreast of things, what progress we're making, and of our deliberations. Thank you. You may go and catch your flight now.
If I may, I'd like to thank the committee for the time and its indulgence to me. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Honourable members, if you just have 1 minute comfort break, I want to get something. I'm not. For making himself available. And thank you very much for coming here, for being here on time and helping us to run this efficiently, the process. Now we are, I'm Joan Fobbs, the chairperson. The man with whom you were dealing, Mr. Hermans, is just not right here at the moment. He's the committee secretary, and on my left, the content specialist is just filling in on some of his work, Ms. Hurling. But in front of you are the committee members and the honourable members of parliament. The way we'll conduct this will be they'll pose questions, and immediately they pose them, you will respond to each one individually, switch on your mic, and when you are finished, switch it off. So, members, perhaps we can see by show of hands, Honourable Kamalo, Honourable Van der Westhuizen, Honourable Mabasa.
Thanks, Honourable Chairperson. Welcome to this committee. Chairperson has already mentioned that we welcome coming and letting yourself to be sharing some information with us. But briefly tell us about your past experience and relate that to the contribution you would make to the board. Linked to that, what, in your opinion, would be the main criteria of a board member? Thanks.
Thanks, Chairperson, and also thank Mark Kumalo. I think the key issue in terms of where do I come from, I think, my name is Muzi, but the key thing that I want to share with the board is me as an activist within the disability sector. I'm the national chairperson of an organization called Disabled People of South Africa, which is a human rights organization fighting for the rights of persons with disabilities. As we all know that within the equity, that persons with disabilities are one of the groupings that have been marginalized. So as the leader of the sector, I champion that we ensure that all issues pertaining to disabilities are addressed equitably. And the other chair that I'm wearing, I'm also the national chairperson of an organization called South African Disability Alliance, consisting of national organizations. Basically, that organization is a platform of all national organizations in South Africa that is created so that we talk with one voice when we deal with government. I think in response to why is it related to the board, I think we all know that as a marginalized sector, and when we discuss issues in different boards, the issue of disability is taken as a by the way. But if the person with disability is not member of the board, there are issues that they are going to be sort of not taken seriously for me. But if a member of a board has a disability sitting there, I think it will champion those issues. Because people will always say that they talk mainstreaming, that they are inclusive in every approach of dealing with the issue of disabilities. But there is a danger that we tend not to focus primarily on those key issues. We tend to generalize the issue. I think the role of me, if I'm part of the board, is to ensure that I champion those issues properly. Well, what was the second question? Did I respond?
Thanks, Chairperson. It was covered because it was like in your opinion, what would be the main criteria of a board member? That was answered.
Thank you. We then have the Honourable Khadebe.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Baba, Nkosi, siyakwamukela apha. What do you envisage to be the main function of the National Lotteries Board as the person who aspires to be the member of that board?
Thank you for the question. I think with my experience, you know, the board will tend to address issues of accountability, probably in line with the PMFA, in terms of account with the money that was spent. And, of course, the issue of governance, basing my experience as a one-time an employee of the Office of the Payment Housing as a deputy director, the understanding the issue of governance and how boards are operating. And also, being a member of the UIF board, you understand how the boards are operating. But for National Lottery, I think it's key that when we sit around the table as board members, the key thing that we do, looking at the Act, we need to advise the Minister on, one, the issuing of licenses, because we need to, as a, you know, my experience as a community member and representing community within NEDLAC, I understand community very well. So I think we'll assist the Minister not to issue wrong licenses in terms of fly-by-night lotteries or gambling. I think number one, we'll advise the minister. But in advising the minister, we need to also to ensure that everything that we advise the minister is in accordance with the Act. And once we've advised and then the person is there, we need to protect, to ensure that there is a protection of all participants that are participating in lotteries, that we ensure that are protected. But I think key in terms of lottery being the distributing agency, I think key for me will be to manage the trust, to keep all the monies in trust and manage the trust properly. I think for me that will be key, if not elaborating, because there are quite a lot of issues if you look at the Act of Lotteries in terms of the role that we need to play as lottery board. Thanks.
Thank you. Yes, Honorable Mabasa.
Mr. Ngosi. One of the functions of a board is to advise the minister on the efficacy of the current legislation. In your opinion, what are some of the challenges in the implementation of legislation? Are there any areas and issues that you maintain should be brought to the immediate attention of the minister?
Thanks, Mr. Wabat. I think in South Africa, generally, we have very good legislation. The challenge that we are facing, as we are saying, is the implementation. I think policy mustn't go in solo, alone. A policy must be governed or go parallel, which I will call the program of action. Because for me, if we have a program of action in the implementation of an act, then it gives us a guidance on how to implement. Because we will have an act, Parliament approves it. But the challenge that we're facing in terms of the department implementing it, or the drivers within the department in implementing that policy, maybe don't have a plan of action to ensure that you implement that policy. But the other thing, which is related to the program of action that I'm advocating for, is that the drivers, if I can highlight, the DDGs within department should be playing a key role in implementing that. And I think as government, we need to ensure that we put mechanism for our staff, like the DDG, in the implementation, that within their key performance indicators, there should be an element of saying that if policy 123 is not delivered effectively, I think people should be charged in terms of that. Thanks.
Thank you. Honourable members, Honourable Jikalana, Honourable Line.
Thanks, Chair. How do you address the delays in distributing funding experienced currently when funds are distributed out of the lottery board, and what remedial actions would you propose to improve the unfortunately ailing relations between the National Lottery Board and the distributing agencies? I say this because as you may probably know that some of the NGOs and other institutions depend on the provision of the lottery funds to implement their programs. And often this funding is not provided within the appropriate time frames. As a result, it impacts negatively, on their work. So share with us as to how do you see addressing that kind of challenge.
Thank you, Mr. Chikalan. I think it's true that really, within the category of distribution, I belong to the one of charity. As a disabled person, I think it really is true that you are facing challenges in terms of sustaining our organization purely because of the reason of distribution or maybe the late distribution. For example, the organization I chair, EDPSA, submitted a funding proposal to lottery, and it was provided. And then the challenge that we are facing as a sector is how do we ensure that there is sustainability? Because you submit, Elena, a proposal, you get funding, you start a project. But the issue of sustainability, when you start, want to apply again within lottery, they take long to produce. I think that's a fact. I think for remedy, for me, for that, I think we need to strengthen our DA, that is the distributing agencies. And then within the distributing agencies, I think committees that are still there, for me, I think there are those committees that are delaying the progress. Because for me, the remedy for me is that once an application has been sent and the lottery sit down to discuss that application, I think for me, for proper approval, the thing that delays this thing is that we are not sure, firstly, at the committee approving that, who is this? For instance, who is this DPSA? But if we have a more information on an organization, I think the process will be speed up. Because once you are not well-versed about who are we giving money, there's an element of fraud, there's an element of not compliance. But if we know the track record of that individual company, I think for me, Mr. Njigalana, the issue of distribution, it mainly remains with individuals within the committee. But if committees are well-versed in terms of understanding the organization that they are giving, I think the process will be speeded up. Because once you have a better understanding of a certain organization, you stand a better chance to agree. But if you don't, because for me, distribution is all that is distributed by people. It's not done by a machine that you are putting this thing in the system that's going to come up. It's people around the table sitting and saying that, but who is DPSA? What role are they playing? What major impact are they making in the community of people? Do they deserve to do this? Then if we are well vexed and having more information of that, I don't think we need a system to ensure that. Of course, the system will be there in terms of distribution, but a better understanding of the society, the better understanding of organization, I think it will speed up the process.
Thank you.
I hope I've answered.
Thank you. And then we have the Honourable, I think I've got it just here, so was it the Honourable Line?
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, and good morning, Mr. Nkosi. Briefly, what do you identify as the 5-year strategic objective for the board, and what systems or processes would you implement to monitor and evaluate the progress made in achieving these strategic objectives of priorities? Thank you.
It is indeed a difficult question, Mr. Sly, because in my research, I don't know whether I will talk with the same thing in terms of priorities, but I think if we are on the same page, are you referring to what is lottery giving to, like the charities, the science and sports and recreation, the reconstruction and development, the heritage? Are you referring to those things if you are referring to the strategic?
The question you were asking was that on the 5-year strategic plan of the NLB, itself, how you would see it. But I would also ask Honourable Lyon to expand, if necessary, on what she, if she wishes.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I must repeat the question so that Mr. Nkosi can have a better understanding of what I'm trying to say. What would you identify as the 5-year strategic objective of the board? And what systems or processes would you implement to monitor and evaluate the process made in achieving these strategic objectives or priorities? You can either call it a priority or an objective. Thank you.
I think I understand it. Because I thought the question was referring that in terms of my research, whether I came up with what are the 5-year strategy of the board, which honestly I wouldn't know. Honestly. But if you want me to talk about what I envisage as the strategy for the board, okay. I think, number one, I think the key issue in terms of the Act is the issue of licenses. I think it's one of the objectives of the board to ensure that we've got lotteries that are in accordance with the Act. And then, number two, in terms of the priority, is to ensure that the lotteries, it increases the amount that it has for distribution to all the communities. That will be a strategy number two for me. But the strategy number three will be, once we have money, I think the issue of the NMDT, National Development Trust, that we strengthen it, the trust, so that when we manage our money, we ensure that you put it in trust, and we also ensure that in the distribution, we advise the minister basically in the proper, basically the percentages that is given, because different sectors and different backgrounds, they cannot receive the same amount. So it will be my understanding that we understand the sector perfectly, so that we ensure that the funding and the percentage is given in accordance with the needs of the people. Is it the third one?
Right. Impashlele, Honourable Kamalo.
Unless you have swapped names, but Impashlele is me. Mpazi Kalanga, let me, this way I salute you. The role of chief executive officer and the role of the board are different, obviously. How do you understand the difference between the two roles, the role of the chief executive officer and the role of the board? What is the relationship between the board, the minister, and parliament? Thank you.
My understanding of the CEO is that he is the manager, he is staff, he is employed by the board today to run a day-to-day activities of the board. The board are more of a political that takes an accountability in terms of all the processes of the board. It's more like a political structure, an executive committee that is working with the CEO in ensuring that they implement the act. That's the difference that I'm understanding. And then the relationship between the board, the minister, and parliament. I think parliament passes legislation, and then I think parliament will be a bigger accounting structure in terms of ensuring that the act it is implemented. And then the minister will work hand in hand with the board. The board has been the advisor of the minister. The minister being the, I would call the most supreme person, because the minister can overrule in terms of the decision that has been taken. He's got that authority. The board, key advisors of the minister in terms of challenges and how to implement issues. I think for me that will be the relationship. But the top structure, of course, will be the parliament that enacts legislation that needs to be implemented. The minister is more of a driver of that act. That is, so the board members will play a major role in supporting the minister in implementing the act.
Honorable Kamala.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Babungos, how would you ensure that the realistic targets for the CEO are set and that his or her performance is measured accurately?
Thanks, Mokuma. I think for each and every manager to perform, we need to put in simple terms a job description that will talk on key performance indicators that we need to measure that person in terms of his or her performance. I think that's number one. But for a CEO to be effective, I think we need to play a monitoring role as the board member to monitor the progress. And to ensure that a person performs optimally, we needed to wait for a year to ensure that we do the evaluation. But if systems are on board and there is what we call a legislation that is followed, for example, all managers, either in government or in private sector, are governed by certain legislation. I think we also need to apply the issue of the PFMA for the CEO so that he understands how monies are spent, how money are accounted for. So for me, the key issue is the job description, which will detail the key performance areas within the function of him or her. Thanks.
Thank you. I'm looking over at the membership again, the honourable members, Honourable Van der Westhuizen, Honourable Khadebe.
Thank you, Mr. Nkosi. You referred to some of your board memberships at the beginning of this interview. Can you tell us more about the high-level responsibilities that you are currently involved in those positions. On those boards, or also any senior management experience or experience of senior management tasks that you may have had in your career.
I think the number one that I'm proud and I'm in full control in running that thing, I think as the chairperson of GPSA, I think I'm fully in charge in terms of accounting to all the things. The chief executive officer and the secretary general, they report directly to me. And the recently one that has been elected is what I call the Disability Alliance, where all the 13 national organizations, all the directors, they report directly to me. The other issue that I'm sitting in terms of the leadership is that network, the network processes, whereby within the community constituency, I represent the disability sector at a very high structure. And the other issue whereby I sit with the deputy president of the country is within the South African National Council on HIV and AIDS, SANAC. I sit at the top structure there. I was supposed to I was there even yesterday chairing the session. I was supposed to chair the session today, but I was called to come here. I think the last one, I think that I sit in top structure, that I also am a member of the UIF board, representing, of course, communities. Thank you.
Adebe,
thank you, Chairperson. Babungozi, you know that South Africa is one of the highly unequal societies. It's even one of the high unequal societies. It can be due to education, due to geographic stay, where you're staying. If you're coming from the rural areas or urban areas, you are having a lot of disadvantages when you come from the rural areas. So even when coming to the non-governmental organization, even CPOs, there's also that trend. A CPO in Sandton, a CPO in Soweto are going to be radically different. A CPO in Joburg, a CPO in Nkandla, in KwaZulu-Natal, they're going to be different because of the capacity. So what suggestion will you bring to ensure that the NGOs that are deserving are able to access funds, even if they lack capacity to properly apply for the funds?
Thanks very much, Bawukhatebe. I think for me, the issue that raises the imbalances of all the things that you have said, I think for me, it's capacity. I think the number one thing, we need to prioritize the rural areas. Whether we like it or not, the rural areas will not develop because the urban is far, machinery is there, funding is there. But I think as the board of lotteries, if our net profit is, we have made quite a lot of money. I think besides giving out people money, we will give people out money as much as we can, and manage their maybe poverty alleviation program. But if management is not capacitated to manage the project and manage the funding, for me it will be useless. I think we need, as the board of lotteries, to ensure that we develop capacity before we disperse funding. If there's an organization down in the Bundus there that is seriously in distress of funding, and then we see that there's a need to capacitate, no, to fund this organization. But for me, I'll advise the minister that we need to capacitate them in terms of the skills, the required skills, to ensure that once they are sustained in terms of understanding administrating, finances, leadership, management skills, then we ensure that we are not putting our money sort of in a deep hole. But you are putting on the people that you have capacity, that you will ensure that they will retain that organization. Because the key challenges within the sector, which I see, I don't know whether is it lacking within the policy, is that the policy, the act itself, it doesn't address the issue of sustainability. The Act really doesn't sustain. How do we ensure that we sustain those people that we give money? We can disperse quite a lot of money, but there is no follow-up in terms of how to ensure this is sustainability. I think the Act should address some of the issues that we need to sustain our organization that we are funding, because we'll perpetually fund organization if we are not funding for sustainability. Thanks.
We have Honourable Labenya first, and then followed by Honourable Lyon.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Mr. Ngosi, if you were to be appointed a board member, what proposals would you make to be implemented by the board in order to assess the impact of the distributed funds?
Proposal will be the same strategy. I think for me, in order to ensure that there is sustainability, I think I'll touch on it when I respond to Babkate. I think for me, we need to strengthen the community. Because really, in strengthening the communities, it's one issue that we need to start embarking on massive training and development of this organization that we are saying we are funding. We need to develop organization in such a way that as board members, we are not even afraid to fear, because one of the things that we need to do is to go out, and because with lotteries we'll get 1,001 applications, and then we sit here, we are not sure who are these people. But if we are really having board members, not elite board members, but members that come from the community, that will understand the processes, for me, I think it won't be difficult for us to assess, because for me it's the issue of who are we giving money. Are we giving money to the right people? Because people, I'm telling you, they can write very good proposals. That we sit as board members and say, but people, you cannot deny these people. But how authentic, how true do we know that this proposal is it real? Then for me, if we're having communities, leadership, that will understand the process, I think the issue of training, assessment, and diagnosing the issues, I think it will go a long way in ensuring that we vigorously are attacking the problem, per se, in terms of ensuring your questions.
Right. Honourable Lyon.
Thank you, Chairperson. This is a follow-up on one of the previous questions. Mr. Ngosi, you have give us a brief overview of your current high-level responsibilities. My question, however, is you mentioned that you are a chairperson of a number of boards at this present moment. If this board, if this committee would like to appoint you as a member of on this board, wouldn't it be that you would be overburdened? Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Lai. It depends on what really we do in this board, because the board that I'm mentioning is not the board that are controlled by the Act, by this one. NEDLAC is one of them that's controlled by the Act and UIF. By the rest, it's more like an NGO. I'm sitting there, non-remuneratory. And in terms of capacity and my availability, I'm not employed. I'm not working for somebody. I don't report to anyone that I will say that I'm not available to do things. I'm a freelance in doing my things, in running my own business. But I don't see it as a major burden for me if I have to sit in this board, because it will be the second board, because UIF is the only board that I'm fully sitting there. But NEDLAC, I'm giving political leadership guidance. Within NEDLAC, I'm sitting in a very top structure that's called EXCO, which it meets about 3 times a year. And but within NEDLAC, there's MENCO, whereby I delegate the CEO of DPSA to sit in there and the Secretary General. Basically, in terms of paid work, I'm not doing quite a lot of work within NEDLAC. And within DPSA, it's also non-remuneratory political leadership that I'm playing. They are implementers, so I oversee the implementation as opposed to paid work in terms of doing work. Thanks.
Thank you very much. I don't know if the honourable members have any further questions. In that case, I do have one. Ms. Nkosi, you mentioned at one point earlier on when we were engaging and sharing this, was that with respect to disbursement of funds, that you thought it was important in the advice that you give to the minister, that the minister had an understanding that there were differences in the sectors. Differences. I'm not sure what you meant by sector per se, or groups, or regional areas, or what, and that one had to take account of those differences in the actual allocation, the size of the allocation of the actual funding. I wonder if you could just clarify what you meant by sectors, you know. What exactly were you referring to?
Thanks, Chairperson. As a politician, you know, I tend to use language that maybe some of the executive members might not understand. But my understanding of a sector, you know, in terms of the Employment Equity Act, there are those marginalized groupings. So when I say sector, I belong to the disability sector. When I was referring to sector, I mean women sector, children's sector, youth sector, and the disability sector. That's basically what I mean by sector. Thanks for letting me to correct that, because sector might need, because there's also a business sector, a government sector, in terms of that. But I was referring to those groupings within the equity. Thanks.
I must thank you, because at one point I was also, and then I realized that the DBSA did not mean the Development Bank of South Africa. So then, but shortly after that you spoke about sectors, so I then was immediately on to industry, business, and so on. Thank you for the clarification. We appreciate that. But we must also thank you for making yourself available as a nominee to serve on the NLB, and for coming down here to Cape Town and to Parliament. Mr. Hermans, who's, as I said, the committee secretary with whom you've been engaging, will continue to keep you informed of our process, progress, and deliberations. But once again, thank you, Mr. Nkosi. To Friday. One does not want to delay honourable members who have flights and other work to attend to. But I would just like to remind honourable members about the schedule again, that looking to see where we are. That is Monday the 2nd. We had, as you know, been requested to go down and check with the Chief Whip whether or not we could have, and with the Chair of Chairs, the Tuesday morning. You remember that is always a factor, the afternoon, to complete the process. Well, it's not, you know, and then we can move on from there. Now, when I say complete the process, I don't mean the process, and perhaps I must correct myself now. I mean complete the interviews, which is a very different thing to completing the process. And I know that that isn't totally abnormal day. We have used Monday maybe twice when we've been doing strategic workshops or something like that, you know. but that is not a day we use because parties tend to have other things on board. I do need to check with the committee exactly what the situation is.
Chair, I have on my diary another appointment, but I would be able to excuse myself from that. But then Ms. Erlinger said in return for that, she would allow us apparently to close Parliament on the 13th of November or something like that.
You honourable when we have our guests, but now of course we in a more sort of membership thing. I really, you know, this program is beyond our control. It really is. And we have pleaded backwards and forwards, and it really has become problematic. And I would certainly add that for me it has also become extremely difficult because, like all of us, we're either on PECs, NECs, or in constituencies that seem to require us more urgently than they ever have. And these things are very difficult, but I must say, of course, I don't have the slight difficulties that other people have. I must say that. I can wake up tomorrow morning and say I want a 6 a.m. flight or 11:10. I do understand that, and I certainly don't want any member of this committee relocating to Gauteng just because of the flight. But on a more serious note, I think the final word has been said, and I would then add my own appeal as the chairperson to make this an exception. It's the second. As I see it then, we would also have an opportunity, 1800, possibly to just share one or two things with each other. No finalization, maybe share some broad thoughts here and there. Just what the whip has shared with us, how critical it is to complete the process. I'm talking of general comments rather than candidate X, you know, or candidate Y. I think it would be useful because Parliament are also requesting a press statement, and it then is useful to hear how members of the committee believe the interviews have been conducted, whether we have been biased in any way, or, you know, that kind of thing, or whether every member here believes that we conducted this in a free and fair manner and that we did our best. But, you know, I think it's because I may see it, it's easy for me to see it, I see it as the chair, and maybe easy for one or two of you too. But I think at the end, you've already got a flavour. You've already got a feel for where we're going. But you do need, I think, there to kind of say, well, we've got, 23 or 22 people who are really all on four or five, you know, are really all at the same calibre of what we want. Or we may have to really struggle. Or thirdly, we maybe find it difficult to look for a CEO or things like that. You need to be upfront at that, but I do not want you to feel that you've precluded your parties from the process. So when we leave here on Monday, you'll have that opportunity of, engaging with party structures, because that is important for every member here. And we've got in full attendance 1, 2, 3, 4 parties, which is more than some committees have. So that's important. I wouldn't want to come to a situation where any member comes here and says, my party says there wasn't enough time and I need more time. I hope I'm making myself clear. Yes, Honourable Van der Vest, Jason.
Chairperson, our planning all depends, to my mind, on whether the candidates can all, the remaining candidates can all be here on Monday. It is also short notice for them. Has that been checked? Because you understand the implications. If again one of the candidates can only come after Monday, then we've got a real problem. But then perhaps we will be back to the drawing board in any case. So if that could be communicated to us before we make final arrangements.
In fact, I should have started off by saying that we have been adamant that we don't want these people flying in at 1 o'clock. We want them flying in at 8. They can sit here in the hotel, wherever, having tea, coffee. But no one is going to have a flight that lands them here at 12:30. I've been assured by the committee secretary that everyone, including the one who missed their flight from the Eastern Cape, I can't remember. And then they answered. It was either the Northern Cape or the Eastern Cape, but we don't have Northern Cape nominees, regrettably. That must have been the North. Now, I hope you can see now the importance of you being in attendance here, Mrs. Honourable Lyon, to represent your province. But on a more serious note, and on top of it, I've had to say, as chairperson, if a flight is missed and the person doesn't arrive, there will be no other opportunity. I've had to say that because we can't extend and extend and extend. And as a matter of fact, for many of them, it suited them, and no one said it was a difficulty. So I must say that was quite clear. So on that basis then, it's difficult with not having the committee secretary here to just see whether we may have overlooked anything. Yes, he did say we must just put fly past the committee about the economic development on Tuesday morning. Those who sit there will obviously be there automatically. But you will be back, I am assured, at 1 o'clock, the latest, 1:30. And we have also asked our committee secretary to ensure that, if necessary, separate transport would be made available so that there is absolutely no delay because another committee has to continue beyond the stated time that they would have. So Honourable Mabasu was mentioned to me as being in the committee, and like a highly disciplined committee member, he'd already indicated to the chair he would be here, you know, because originally the schedule was here. As you recall, and quite rightly, he said no, he couldn't go. But if you wish to go now, I'm sure the chair would welcome that. And the same for Honourable Helen Lyon. So on that note, if there's anything else you wish to take up with me, officially, like, you know, as part of the committee, please do so now. Yes, Honourable Hadebi, Honourable Njikalana. That sounds maybe useful to have Honourable Njikalana first.
Okay, that was one. Can I be protected?
Yes, very much.
I was just keen to know when are we concluding the process, because honestly I should have been in the Pan-African Parliament session right now and even next week, but obviously I take the point that particularly trustee members should be here, so it would help me also to arrange. Mondays is okay, but I just wanted to know when I was saying that we're coming to a concluding stage.
I'll respond to that immediately after Honourable Hadebi. Okay. Well, look, we will be finalising it on Tuesday the 3rd. That hasn't changed since last time. You will recall we were going to have those nominees in the morning of Tuesday, remember? And we would have, in any event, only finalised it later. So that hasn't changed, that timing. So I must make that clear. Yes, Honourable Khadir.
Honourable Chairperson,
I can see also that there was no nominee from the Free State in this board, which is very bad. But as the members of the committee, you can do something better. Yeah, in particular on Saturday, all of us must go and support the cheetahs.
Now, I do agree, but you see, honourable members, now a point has been raised, and I know honourable Lyon has raised this on at least, well, several occasions, because honourable Khadebe has only just joined the committee. We raised this earlier, right at the beginning, honourable Labenia raised it, that where was this advert placed when these came out? We all said the same thing, where was it placed? Now, I have said repeatedly ever since I came to legislature circles in 94, of course these things may need to be placed in the Sunday Times and the City Press and so on and so forth. However, having said that, what is the point of placing them there if your target is to get the community groupings to respond? If they don't buy the Sunday Times, the City Press, or wherever else we may have decided to advertise it. In fact, the best advert is a radio, unless legislation precludes it. Followed up, of course, by the back of a taxi or something, but I don't want to get too creative here. I think, you know, there are lots of other ways of doing it besides just those national ones. I think they must go there, they must. But I think we need to look elsewhere. Now, this is the kind of thing we would like you to refer back again on Monday to say, look, there are these issues as well, which we raised at the beginning and we want to emphasize again. I don't think there's anyone sitting in this committee that would disagree. So let me adjourn while we're all on a good note and wish you well with your families, with your constituency over the weekend. I know I'm going to be having a very good meal with my granddaughter who turned 12. So, thank you.